You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this adventure into the geekdom is someone who hasn't been on one in a while.
Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm a retired prodcaster. There you go.
He's the cast. Yeah, he prods it. He cattle prods it.
That's right.
Yes, so welcome back, sir.
Hello. Yes, it's...
Luckily, the plague of the century has not made an impact on podcasting, other than the fact that everybody talks about it now, and that's the most popular content on social media.
Well...
For obvious reasons.
I mean, look, we all have to social distance. There's no reason none of us... I understand that, and I'm like,
it's physical distance.
Yeah, well,
because like social distancing is like, I can't talk to you, I'll catch the plague from talking to you. Physical distancing is more accurate of a term, because you're staying physically distant from someone, you're not staying socially distant. I mean, I guess you kind of are, in the sense that you're talking through a, you know, like when we have meetings at work, it's through a Zoom call, so we're all socially distant, but we're still conversing.
I think it's because of the whole gathering thing. And honestly, I don't even know where the term, it just popped up like immediately. As soon as COVID-19 was a thing, social distance or social distancing is now the term for 2020. And it's like, what the heck, man? And the thing of it is the reason why I think it's termed that is because look at all the gatherings, look at, you know, concerts and sports and all of that are social events where sports, not necessarily going to talk to the next guy next to you, concerts, maybe not either, but like parties and weddings. And that's all in real life socializing.
Yeah. So I get it in that aspect. If when you kind of boil it down that way, because literally everything from Comic Cons to like films to, conventions of any kind, conferences, all of it gone. Bye-bye. World shut down. Go home, kids. You know, it's like going to Wally World and then, you know, John Candy comes up. He's like, we're sorry, we're closed. And then you just want to punch the moose in the face. Like, no, we're not closed, but you kind of have to stay home now. Otherwise, the law will come after you. Where's RoboCop?
I know, right? I saw a meme recently. I don't know. Okay, Judge Dredd.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I don't know where it was or what it was or whatever, but basically I saw a meme with our favorite Adam Sandler and Bob Barker, Happy Gilmore. Next to Bob, they have listed like 7-Up, ginger ale, soup, blah, 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 blah. All the things we used to do to get rid of illnesses when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Next to Adam, next to Happy's character, COVID-19.
hey, but the thing is Bob Barker did punch him.
That's true.
And just beat the living crap out of him. So technically, that's not as accurate as it should be. It should be like switched, because COVID-19 is not taking anything without a fight. Granted, they're saying that there's like 4 or 5 different vaccines that are floating around for testing right now that were used for other illnesses that they're claiming can have the same effect of clearing it up or helping. But yeah. Anyway, let's get on to something.
Because it's so apparently people that do listen to these shows of ours. Anyway,
they don't listen for this. They listen for the fun, and the arguments and the bickering and, you know, the complaining and wait, we've been doing that. So
for 11, almost 12 years now.
Yes, and people still show up. So something that's been impacted by COVID-19 is the comic industry, among other things. Now, we'll have a separate either episode or on the second half of this one, possibly, a conversation about movie theaters. But for the moment, we're going to talk comic books. And the industry as a whole, with some of the biggest distributors shutting down due to the virus and being, you know, told that cease and desist, you know, it's against the law right now, because it's not a an exception to their rule. It's not something like food or healthcare or media or something in that realm. So it's been ordered to shut down temporarily, for obvious reasons, for not spreading it, not getting the employees sick, and kind of just in that fashion. But there's a ripple effect, and this has been happening for a number of years anyway with the comic industry, and this just kind of is not helping its case at all.
No, not really.
So lay it out for us, Mike.
So basically, Diamond Distributing, the distributor that does comics, they are shutting down orders for new product. Basically, taking new shipments of new product, they're not doing that anymore because of the virus and everything else. And Diamond confirms that it will cease shipping new products. However, reorders will continue to be fulfilled from a secured warehouse. The head of Diamond urges retailers to look for creative solutions. The move is also in the face of stoppages from shops and publishers alike, according to the president of Diamond. And Diamond is aware of the many problems facing shops in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Who knows when it's going to be able to move again? You know, it's just one crazy thing. Yeah, I mean, a lot of this virus is killing
a lot of industries.
And it's not just killing industries. Like, I wish I could find the link I had pulled up the other day. The people that have died from this thing, the number is astronomically large.
Well, and the thing is, too, is, yes, majority of people, myself included, didn't take it very seriously when it first came out. And to be honest, like, I definitely feel for everyone that has lost a loved one in this or has gotten it or been sick. And this is just throwing it out there because, you know, I'm going to be transparent and honest about it. I do think that there is a portion of it where people are blowing it extremely out of proportion. And I say that in the manner of the idiots that are hoarding things from the grocery store, like the toilet paper, mm-hmm. Like the food, the, you know, things that if they just got what they needed
mm-hmm.
for like the possible 2-week span, they're going to be on lockdown because they're not going to block you from going to the grocery store. That's just not going to happen. But, but the thing is if people just bought, you know, just regular instances where, you know, they're not hoarding the stuff, we wouldn't have all these problems we're having right now. But you know, I don't take it seriously in the sense too, because whatever the president says aside, I'm not going there.
No.
Or what the Democratic side says, I'm not going there either, because you have Pelosi and Schumer who are just as between the three of them, they can't crack a walnut. Because they're all old and not of sound mind. Just like our presidential candidates that are running. So yes. I'm going to leave that there.
So the
whole system is basically crippled at this point. And it's the comic industry has been struggling for years between multiple reboots going on. I'm looking at you, DC, and Marvel not knowing what direction to go with their content, mm-hmm. and trying to be woke on everything. And I feel like both companies out of all the comic companies, because I feel like the other ones are growing because these two are faltering so bad. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because they keep rebooting and they keep trying to re-innovate or trying to stay relevant and play to the the different social aspects that are going on in modern day and catering. And so they're looking very cheap about how they're going about it. Whereas the other companies like IDW, Boom Studios, they're looking, they're looking what Marvel and DC did 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I truly feel for those two companies because they put out some really good stuff.
Yeah.
And to see, you know, the local comic shops having problems, and that's partially because of digital, but it's partially because people just don't have the expendable income that they used to have.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, the comics industry is ever changing, and I've been doing the pull bag has been around officially 7 years as of this past March 5th or 6th. I forget what the original date was eventually of it, but you and I had started back in 2012 on GCR to get the pull bag idea kind of
rolling,
launched with whatever. And so we've been talking comics on the GCRN for at least 8 years. And in that time, what I miss is something like insert comic name here, having a starting point, and then going for at least 100, if not more, issues. You know, you mentioned the DC Marvel constant reboots and whatever else. Yes, I understand. Number ones make the money. I get it. But in specifically DC's case, they've done some wacky things in order to end their main continuity, the New 52 continuity, and now the Rebirth continuity. I don't know. I just want writers and artists to be able to tell the stories that they want to be able to tell and people be able to read them. You take a look at IDW. TMNT has been going strong since, I think, 2012, somewhere around there. They're over 100 issues now. They've had multiple miniseries and other things that help not have them needing to reboot to number one.
Just like Transformers.
Well,
they start different divisions, but I would argue your case that Ninja Turtles is probably the strongest, and I would also argue that Star Trek, that they handle it really well.
Yeah, they do. They do because also
they take aspects of it and they splinter it off to miniseries for something that's not necessarily something that could drag onto a full series, but the things that do, they keep well within their means and don't have to reboot.
Right. I mean, the only reason why IDW quote-unquote rebooted the Transformers universe in their comics is because...
It was cataclysmic.
It was a chaos bringer, but they started out in, I think, 2005, actually, maybe, most likely. I don't know.
No, anyway. That was Dreamwave.
Okay, anyway.
They didn't get right until like that. Around 2009 or 2010 or something.
Okay, 2010, whatever. Point is, they had 13 years of comics at IDW for their version of what they originally started to do. And that universe had an end point. That universe ended with Unicron showing up and potentially destroying everything. Obviously, not to spoil it for anybody, but the day was saved and yada, yada, yada. So they then went to a new series, a new this, a new that. They're telling a whole new story kind of thing. They're starting a whole new universe. Huge difference in going back to number one and trying to start a whole new universe than some companies just ending one universe for the hell of it because they want a new number one.
Well, and both Marvel and DC are notorious for that, especially in the last 15 years, because I remember reading DC before it rebooted to the New 52.
Yep.
And it was faltering, and they were kind of running out of steam, and they needed to bring some characters back. And then they came out with the New 52, and it started going strong, and they started pulling some pretty heavy punches. And then for whatever reason, they had way too many comic series going simultaneously and different plot lines in multiple Batman issues, multiple Superman, and multiple of, you know, all these other people that were interrelated. And then they made too many crossovers, I think, and it kind of blew itself out really early. So it went on like 2-3 years, and then they rebooted again to the what did they call it after they rebooted it from the New 52?
Rebirth.
Yeah. And that's what we're living in now. And now they're in, like, they're going on all kinds of weird, wacky locations and concepts now, because I follow it enough to keep up with some of the news, but I don't follow it enough to really pay attention to what the storylines are, other than I don't care. And they've both tried to pull some, you know, some modernism things to both of their franchises of the DC Comics and Marvel, but I feel like Marvel tries too hard to cater to different special groups of people. And I'm not denouncing the people whatsoever. I'm not trying to start that can of worms, but for instance, and I'm going to bring this up. I'm not going to bring up what I said about it, but I'm going to bring this up. They had debuted their first non-binary superheroes, to each their own. I'm going to leave that my personal thoughts aside. They had made this big announcement that they're going to do this, and then they rebooted the New Warriors to the new Warriors, and they named one Snowflake, and the other one they named Safe Space, which is like total like woke social justice warrior garbage. And I feel like that was like, not only are the names ridiculous, but I feel like they're trying too hard. And the funny thing is this one over, you know, cause they're trying to get, you know, a younger audience to pay attention to them, because nobody pays attention to them. They watch the movies. And the, whoever it is that came up with this concept, thought that this was going to be, you know, really cool to have teen characters who felt as now, you know, and so he chose to make one of them, you know, non-binary and all this other. So what happened is the videos and the comments on YouTube. Do you remember the when Call of Duty and Battlefield 1 came out like a number of years ago? And there was that joke of like they use The Office where they're like burning the office down, and it shows like, you know, Call of Duty and Activision just like actively burning and destroying stuff. Because when the Call of Duty trailer came out, it had hundreds of thousands of thumbs down. And the Battlefield 1 had hundreds of thousands of thumbs up. The same thing happened with this, the video of this guy trying to make these new woke, you know, comic lines with these characters. And there were so many, I think the last time I looked, there was like 84,000 thumbs down on like the guy talking about it on a YouTube video, which is astronomical. And it just goes to show you that maybe you shouldn't try so hard. Maybe just write good characters, good storylines. If they happen to have that aspect about them, you know, great. Kind of like the Cassandra Cain with the Batwoman thing. Okay, she's lesbian, you know, whatever. It goes with the character, but the character was around before that. And it was a strong character before that. So maybe instead of trying too hard to cater to people, maybe write good characters and then have that as another facet of their personality. Yeah. And that was more so what I was getting at when I was beating on, I inadvertently said something that caused fandom and some other places to unfollow me and give me rigorous hate. And I used GIFs like as memes to comment I used those to comment rather than physically saying anything, because I was like, it's less damaging if I use a meme, because then it's, you know, it didn't matter. People still attacked me, but I had to lock down the Twitter account. last week because I did that. But what I was getting at is, like, it was more so a dig at Marvel. It wasn't a dig at the people. So, right. But it's funny because an article I'm reading about this, it says Marvel's decision to incorporate, you know, these characters in line with its decision to make its newer comic arcs woke is a decision that hasn't proven fiscally responsible. And according to Screen Rant, the entire comic book industry is now close to failing. So, yeah, it's in a roundabout way, like, I'm trying to say that, you know, for one, with Diamond being closed down, who is a major player in the distribution game, you know, it's kind of, if they're closed down, that means that, like, the local comic shops are going to hurt, which in turn is going to hurt sales on comic books themselves, because people are going to be hoarding their money in the event of, you know, having to spend $100 on toilet paper that they shouldn't have to spend because people hoard it during this time. But I don't know. Like, I feel like they just don't know what to do anymore. Mm. And I think it kind of partially boils down to the fact that they've got inexperienced writers, which is the same problem that's plaguing, like, the Star Trek TV shows right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a discussion on Future Imperfect, which, if you haven't listened to that, it's going to be out before this. I'm recording this the day after, but I haven't released the other. So, we were talking about how poorly Picard is written, and we had all these theories of how we thought things should go. And it was more so, it was more so like this whole thing about how they have multiple writers per episode,
mm-hmm.
when it's not, again, not needed. And the problem with that is they, you don't get a cohesive storyline. Like with Picard, they're trying to make it like this serialized show, kind of like Deep Space Nine was towards the end, and how they've made Discovery. Well, the problem between both Discovery and Picard are they're both dystopian. There's nothing uplifting about either show, so it's depressing from the get-go.
Right.
Because you're either dealing with a war or a war on AI, which season two of Discovery and Picard are both a whole war on AI, with another faction involved. Like Discovery has Section 31 and Picard, they created the secret police to the Tal Shiar, which is the Zhat Vash, whatever. But the whole problem I'm seeing is, like, there's no original ideas. They're just, like, pulling crap. Like, Dodd was like, it's Mass Effect. He's like, Picard is basically the storyline of Mass Effect. He's like, do they not have any, you know, and they rip things from, like, Babylon 5 and, you know, some of these other sci-fi franchises. And it doesn't really feel like Trek. And I get it. Like, most of the characters don't feel like how they would have portrayed their characters had they evolved. Mm-hmm. And I get that it's 20 years later, but the stories feel like they're hitting these, like, they got to hit these beats like they do in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not actually, there's no stakes in it, in a sense. Like, yeah, we kill off tertiary character from the original airing of TNG, but it doesn't really affect anything. Like, there's a lot of throwaway somehow in this 10 episode season that could have easily been like 7 episodes if they cut the filler
out of the episodes of it that I've seen. The only one I really enjoyed was when
Riker, you know, shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the only one I fully enjoyed because, again, it felt like TNG. And I worry, like, I don't know if you've seen episode 9 yet.
I have not.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil it, but they do something in that is very obvious. And it's not, there's like not a lot of intelligent writing, but everybody's doing the best with what they've been given.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering how they're going to wrap this up in the 10th episode, which, again, by the time of this recording, the 10th episode is not out yet. But again, it still circles around to the comics. Like, you have people that are inexperienced at it that probably shouldn't be like your head writers. And for the program, like, maybe they should be consulted by people that have actually written for the franchise before you let them loose and do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what's happening with the comic industry, and it's what's happening with the television industry, is you're getting a lot of garbage pumped out just for the sake of saying, oh, we've got new content, we've pushed this envelope, we've done this, and it's revolutionary, it's different, it's new, but it's garbage. And so ultimately it's not going to be remembered very fondly, whereas mm-hmm. you know, looking back at Deep Space Nine, people hated it from the get-go. 20 years later, people love it because it's actually good writing.
I liked DS9 because, again, like I've said in this show and other shows, you're the diehard, I'm more the casual. Yes, I grew up with TNG, but I never saw all of it. I mean, I just never did.
And honestly, I probably still have not seen every episode of all of the series. I mm-hmm. periodically, like, I sit on Netflix and I will... yes, I'll watch some of the same episodes numerous times, but I look for the ones where I can see that, because it shows your progress bar of what you've watched. Mm-hmm. I purposely will seek out the ones I have not watched, or if I remember it's a really crappy episode, then I'll skip it. But if I can't remember it at all, I'll watch it, give it a shot, and then be like, okay, I'll never watch this episode again, but at least I've seen it. And mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the boat I'm in with some of this. And it makes it really difficult when you're watching a serialized show, because you have to watch every episode to understand everything going on, even though they give you a 5-minute recap at the beginning of every episode anyway. But it's, I don't know. I feel like we shouldn't have to feel like we're getting through stuff. And that's kind of why I don't buy comics anymore, is I felt the stories were just blah. Like, I love the art on the covers, I love the art in the pages, but the story just sucked. And so, like, I quit doing it, aside from the fact it was a cash strap.
I can point you in the direction, and I know I've tried to point you in the direction of several things that I think you would enjoy, that you don't have to spend 80 years trying to catch up. Again, like we mentioned earlier, TMNT, perfect thing. I can get you the chronology of how you're supposed to read it and whatever else, and I think you will really enjoy it. I mean, Joe, I mean, and I have been doing that.
I would be down for trying that, at least for a couple of, you know, volumes, just to kind of see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And probably the new Transformers too, just to kind of see, because ever since Dreamwave lost the license because the guy embezzled money and didn't pay his artists, douchebag. But ever since that happened, I never really gave IDW a clear shot, because they had cleaner art. They didn't have that like shiny, like aesthetic and kind of boxy feel that I was getting from Dreamwave that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So I never really gave them an actual shot. Like, I gave them some here and there, depending on what it was, and I kept some. And obviously the Beast Wars stuff was by far my favorite content, because it was Beast Wars. If they ever wrote that again, I would so love to help write it, because I know Beast Wars in and out. Mm-hmm. Unlike people at, you know, CBR.com. Love how I'm just bringing this full circle, you know.
I just love how plant-based that comment is.
You know, I can't believe that, you know, she's so mystical, and, you know, she's in the Beast Wars, and you know, you know, and if, for those that are wondering, I'm referencing someone who wrote an article in December of 2019 of Transformers, the 10 lamest secondary modes we can't believe exist. Or they could have just said the 10 lamest transformations, because they only have one or two modes. There's no like alternate, like there's not a third mode.
Unless you're a triple changer.
Yeah. And that doesn't happen in Beast Wars unless you're like Optimus Primal or a Transmetal. True. But you know, he references Rat Bat and kind of runs down like very vague information, and then starts saying Soundwave and his cassettes are lame. You know, says, you know, he's cool, but and says that, you know, if you're in the 80s, he's the coolest idea ever. And he says, the only thing is, how useful is this after a single espionage mission if the Autobots are smart? Then he says, you know, who put the boombox there, you know? And then all the different cassettes, and I'm just like, really? He's espionage. Yes, he's, you know, more than likely they're not going to notice a very tiny cassette player. But my favorites of the botchings on here were the Beast Machines related content, because none of it was Beast Wars in here. But they reference Beast Wars every time. And what's hilarious is the Botanica one that's on there. It says, sure, every universe kind of needs a plant-based villain. First, she's not a villain, which tells me they've never watched the Blasted show.
Exactly.
Because she's a hero. She's a Maximal that happened to crash on a plant-based planet and came back, mm-hmm. and had to be reformatted by Optimus Primal, by the Oracle. But anyways, it says, for Batman, it's Poison Ivy. For our Autobots, it's Botanica. They're not Autobots, they're Maximals. Get it right. Botanica is a transformer that can turn into a plant, has some mystical capabilities and personality traits. She's a scientist that sometimes doesn't know when too much work is too much. Okay, I'll give him that. She was introduced in Beast Wars, which is notably not a high point for the series. No, she was introduced in Beast Machines, and Beast Wars is what saved the franchise and made it so that it still exists today. But then he concludes with, while she is a pretty boring character, definitely worlds away from the guns and supersonic jets of the Transformers world, she does have some really cool powers, like being able to interface with the afterlife. She's essentially like a much less interesting, badly animated version of DC Swamp Thing. Seriously, though, Beast Wars looks absolutely awful, and while some Transformers got to turn into cheetahs, she's a plant. And then they spelled cheetahs wrong, and again, in reference Beast Wars, and Beast Machines, people, I could see where people would not like it if they were used to the aesthetic of Beast Wars for the smooth, you know, and the styles that they went for, because they weren't blocky anymore. But again, wrong series. And then they, you know, talk about how, you know, lame Cheetor is, you know, and they reference Supreme Cheetor, which again, it's a toy. It's not the series, it's the toy that they're referencing. And says, again, Beast Wars here is a wreck, or is here, Beast Wars is here to wreak its unholy havoc on us. Again, Beast Machines, not Beast Wars. Cheetor is a young apprentice of Optimus Primal. Okay, yes, he kind of was. And then he says, you read that right, Optimus Primal. Like, he's never heard of Optimus Primal and Beast Wars or Beast Machines. Cheetor is an incredibly boring looking character, with Supreme Cheetor being the toy incarnation of the character. He's not boring. He's actually like quite intelligent and evolves throughout the entire series. Here's from a hot-headed hot rod. And it says he's a hot-headed young character who really doesn't know how to control himself yet. A blank slate that really shouldn't exist. He's a yellow background with black spots all over him. And that may be the case in Beast Wars, but as he evolved and changed forms and transformations, and then through Beast Machines, he became as wise as Primal was at the beginning of Beast Wars.
Yeah, exactly. This is going to kind of transition into my wanting to talk about my Google feed. Because I saw that story on my Google feed, and I sent it to you, or I sent it to whoever it was.
You dropped it in our Facebook group.
Yeah. So, I understand that CBR is kind of like the go-to thing when it comes to comics and whatever else, and they generally have fairly reliable news sources and whatever else on certain things. However, whomever this person is, I don't know. I don't even care. Like, please do your research first. Well,
this is the funny thing. They primarily write about Dragon Ball Z and other manga and anime and Full Metal Alchemist and things like that. They have no idea on any other kind of content. like literally nothing else. Like all of their other content is like is anime based, like solely 100% anime based, which tells me this person has never seen it, but was assigned this article and had no choice but to do it, which is strangely telling. Like, and it's the only non-anime article that they wrote out of the 10 that are on there that this person's written.
Where, okay, whereas this website could have hired someone who knew about it, whether watched it be... It. Yeah, exactly. Like, here's the funny thing. I saw that article.
Go to TF Wiki.
Well, yeah, exactly. Do your own research. But here's the thing. I saw that article and I'm like, oh, you've got to be friggin' kidding me. And as soon as I read it, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go over here to Tubi, which Tubi is an app that I have. It's a TV app. Tubi has G1. Tubi has Beast Wars and Beast Machines.
Nice.
That you can watch all the episodes for free. Yes, there are ads here and there, but it's not bad. I mean, considering these shows aren't on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, like, I think Transformers Prime is the only one that's left on Netflix right now. Anyway, point is, I'm like, oh, I love Beast Machines. I'm going to rewatch Beast Machines. I think I'm on, like, the fourth or fifth episode of season one right now. And that's when I started looking back at that article, and I'm like, this person doesn't know what they're talking about.
Well,
and especially that's not a good thing.
Well, and especially for the ones that, I don't know, reviewed the series.
Still, to my knowledge, you'd have to do some research, but I'm still claiming to fame that we're the only in-depth Beast Wars. Damn.
There's one other show that's doing it now. And they break it, each episode, they break down one episode of the program. They don't do it like how we did it, which is different. They're putting a different spin on it, and they're a little bit more sarcastic, and they kind of do things differently, and then they do their show on YouTube. Granted, it still doesn't get any better downloads than what we did 10 years ago. But nevertheless, we were first, and we did deep dive, and we got to talk to some of the writers and some of the people that were involved that a few are not among us anymore, or accessible. So,
yeah.
Well, I was talking like Larry DiTilio. So, I mean, when you kind of bring it all down, again, I don't know. It's something that drove me nuts when I worked for writing articles for tech websites. They want you to pump out garbage as quickly as possible. They kind of give you your guideline. And I'm not dissing websites that give freelancers work. And I understand that they're just trying to pump stuff through the machine for Google purposes and for viewers. But the problem I had, and it depends on the site you write for. I wrote for a couple of different ones. One of them, I could pump out 6 or 7 a week if they gave them to me. The other one, it was kind of like you got assigned it, but half their stuff was like too difficult to write about. You had to do like an obscene amount of research, and their website was so clunky on the back end, it was not worth the effort. But the other site, you could put in some effort to do some research, and then you write it, and then it was in a WordPress background, so you could write in that. Again, perfectly fine. I usually knew a pretty decent amount of stuff, although the only thing I didn't like is that they would still assign you articles for things that you knew nothing about. So, for instance, every now and again, I would get an iPhone or an iPad question. I don't own them, and I hate them. So I had to write about them. So I felt so disingenuous writing about them, about products I'd never tried, because they were stealing them from the other site I ended up writing for later. I felt disingenuous writing about it, or like I had to write one of how to podcast. Okay. I was assigned that one because one, I asked for it, and two, I was like, I could do this with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
And they were like, we want you to push these two combo packs that are on Amazon. And mind you, they're like a XLR microphone with, you know, a mixer with, you know, a headset with a pop screen filter and some of this other crap and a stand and something else. And I was like, it was supposed to be for beginners or people that are novices that don't know anything about podcasting. Like that was the whole purpose. Cause whenever I got too in depth in an article, because there were times I wrote 1,000, 1,500 words. And I was told to keep it under 1,000 on occasion. And they would tell me I wrote too in depth that it would go way over the listeners' heads. And it's like, well, how do you expect to have accurate information on an article that you're handing me of this nature? Because I'm not going to write garbage and I'm not going to leave things out, because then otherwise it's not a complete article. It's not a complete how to. And so I felt, I don't know, I felt like I was riding the line there, and it kind of drove me nuts. But I wrote it, you know, because that's what I had to do. But looking back on it, you know, much later, the podcast article, with writing it, I would have never included those combo packs, because I personally use a Blue Yeti microphone. I have a pop screen filter. I have a retractable arm that's on my desk that holds the Blue Yeti. I have a USB headset that was $20 from Logitech, and it's all USB, and it cost me $200 round trip and over a span of 10 years. And I still am using all of it. I mean, this isn't my original headphones because those snapped, and technically these are broke too, but I just glued them. But I was able to include the Blue Yeti, and I was able to include a couple of, you know, like the Samson and the, there's another brand too that is pretty high up there too. But I included those three in there for the single setup. And I didn't feel disingenuous writing about those or the rest of the process of podcasting or software, because I had to include software as well. And I would completely knew. I was like Audacity, Adobe Audition, and you know, if you're inclined, use Pro Tools. But other than that, like, you know, it was pretty cut and dry. But I had to include those other two things because I was told to, not because I wanted to. Because it was an affiliate sponsor link thing. And so, so again, like it depends on the website and their integrity and whether they actually proof your material or whether they actually have a writer that cares about the material, whether it's actually accurate or not, or whether they put the effort into it. You know, even if I didn't know something about iPads or iPhones, there were times that I spent ridiculously a long time trying to figure out how those things worked because I had to write about it.
And again, you would do the research on it.
Yeah. And it would sometimes take me half a day to do all the research on it for something I knew nothing about, you know, like apps. They wanted me to write about apps too. And I didn't know about them because like certain apps, because I didn't use them. I didn't have an iPhone, or even if I had it on an Android, I didn't use the apps because I didn't want to download them. So like I would do enough research that I didn't need to download them unless I actually wanted to try it. Like Google Pay, I learned about from writing one of those articles, and I actually tried it and I actually use it. But again, like it's kind of boils down to that. I feel like a lot of sites are doing clickbaity stuff with their topics and their titles and recycling old content so that it filters back through, which I get they're going to do that because it makes the most sense for SEO. But you shouldn't see something that's like 6 months or older, because, you know, if you're on a pop culture site, you'll see, you know, an article that was maybe from 6 months to a year ago about something that happened in the show that's no longer relevant now, but it's somehow still in the latest posts on the website.
I mean, there's a huge difference in doing that and doing what I normally do is I'll be like, hey, remember this from like 10 years ago when we first started, kind of like I'll find, and I've gone like the pullback, I think fixed almost all of this is audio backend issues, folks, so don't worry about it. But basically the end of last year, I was fixing all the pullback stuff so I could eventually, like right now, actually this is a perfect example. When's this episode supposed to be released?
Friday.
Friday is
that day 26th. Of the week. That's, The 27th.
27th. Okay. So, as of this, we are 3 or 4 days away from March 30th, 2020, which is the 30th anniversary of when TMNT came out in 1990. So I just went back to the pull bag and I found the two commentaries, the two commentary tracks Joe Reed and I did for the original 90 Turtles film and Turtles 2. And I'll be posting those on the anniversary saying, hey, it's the 30th anniversary. Go listen to our commentary on these movies, kind of a thing. There's a huge difference in me doing that versus what you're talking about, these websites continuing to put and have listed in their most recent posts stuff that's older than a week.
Yeah, and the only case I could see for doing it is if you wanted to highlight the most popular or frequently accessed mm-hmm. content, because I recently put a slider on GCRN's site of the frequently accessed posts of the website.
Mm-hmm.
And one of Dan's like top 100 comics of 2019 comes up, the pullbag Tony Stark episode, Altered Geek 326 with podcast and AI tech and stuff. And then several interviews come up, which John Delancey is one of. But it comes up in the frequently accessed, you know, which, okay, cool. You know, it's stuff that people have resonated with apparently. And so, some of it's evergreen, some of it's not, but it's still like it's labeled old.
Mm-hmm.
It's not labeled as like cutting edge, brand new, come to the, you know, and pay attention to me because I'm new, and it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little crazy, folks.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if you have anything else to add to this part of the conversation.
It's just, again, these algorithms for the Google feed that I mentioned earlier, or whatever, right now, I'm currently in the middle of refreshing on my phone here. Come on. All right. Samsung Galaxy Note 20 design will make you want to skip the Galaxy S20. That was posted 16 hours ago. Something on Picard was posted a day ago. But, my point about bringing this up is I want, and this also goes to Facebook too, I want my news feed or my feed that is chronologically whatever, I want it in the terms of when it was posted. I don't want to go on Facebook and see an article or see somebody post something that was from yesterday or 4 days ago or last week. And Facebook is more notorious for this than Google is. But I will see stuff like that. I've had people comment on my stuff that's at least 5 days old. And I'm like, seriously? This is 5 days ago. What's going on here? And then I realized Facebook's algorithm is doing stupid crap.
Well, Facebook and Twitter both are notorious for that, especially if you're on the apps. They'll show you.
I have my Twitter apps set to, you know, most recent whatever. I don't have it.
I do too, but periodically when it updates, it changes back. I've noticed because I'll look at the time of when something was posted, and at times it will come up and say, oh, this was posted 7 hours ago, and I'm like, okay, this isn't doing what it's supposed to anymore. So yeah, I don't know, it's really annoying, to be honest. And I don't like the little sneaky games that they all like to play.
Mm-hmm.
So that aside,
yes,
got some feedback on a previous episode. We had what was it? I think the last episode we did was beginning of March for this show. We did our top 5 favorite films right now, and Brad on Facebook goes, I don't think I could give you a top 5, more so 5 of my favorites. and that's kind of what my boat is most of the time. And then we were talking about in the previous one, some of the feedback. He said, because this one was on Disney podcasting elitists and voice mm-hmm. acting. I think I was solo on that.
You were solo on that one, yeah.
Yeah, he goes, criticisms of films you don't want to see. I agree. Hunger Games, don't want to see it, so can't criticize it. I think he was talking about the top five films. If you want to criticize something, watch it first, then crap on it. And then he says, one last thing. With everyone indoors now, I've seen some podcasters creating extra content for listeners. I fear in an already bloated market, comedians, artists, etc. will now turn to podcasting and inflate the market even further. As you've said previously, Steve, it's already hard getting listeners without radio stations and celebrities making their own shows and taking the listeners.
Well, here's the thing to that, and he's right. He's not wrong. Right before COVID-19 happened, a local radio station that I've followed for years in Boston, 107.3 WAAF, went off the air, and then COVID-19 hit. So now all those people are out of jobs because the parent company, I guess, wanted to go in a different direction or whatever else. Basically, it's a Christian radio station now. So the people that work there are now doing other things or figuring out what they're going to do next kind of thing. And for me, and I meant to bring this up whenever the heck I was on this show last, in my semi-podcast retirement thing here, I've been listening to a lot more shows lately. I've tried to listen to certain things, but I've also tried to find new things. Like, I've listened to several of your things and whatever else, and I've listened to other stuff as well. But I've tried to find other things that I am not associated with or whatever else. And the people that were on the afternoons and middays for that radio station, one of them has a podcast called Breaking the Ice. Originally, I guess it was a hockey podcast. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, but, you know, I listened to that and I listened to a few other things. I'm starting to listen to shows again, and I haven't done that. Like I said last time I talked about this, when you're someone like me who can't have or can't maintain a real job because of my physical disabilities and you have all this time on your hands, you want to put in. That's why I even started podcasting, was I had all this extra time on my hands when I was doing the job I was doing back in 2005 or whatever it was. You know, I would listen to a whole bunch of stuff and then I started producing. Producing a podcast, even as a novice, any podcast, it doesn't matter if it's a comic podcast, like especially if you're someone like me who wants to review stuff, you have to either read, watch, listen, and then do additional research before you even hit that record button. You have to have some sort of format for show.
Yep.
That kind of thing. It's not just hit record and say whatever the frack you want kind of a thing. So I stopped listening to all the stuff I was listening to because I was the one doing the producing. Well, now that I'm currently not producing anything, not on a mainstream level like I was, I have more time to listen to stuff. So I've mentioned on the show before, Music Talks with Terry Smith. I love that show. Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads, which I think you'd get a kick out of. It's Mike Laidman from Twig, and formerly of Twig or whatever you want to call it, and his buddy Chris. And it's a dad podcast, but it's also a geeky podcast. So I think you should check that out. Like I said, this new one that I'm listening to, Breaking the Ice. I've even listened to several episodes of Michael Rosenbaum's show.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to that Stephen Amell one that he had. I recently just listened to the Brandon Routh one he had on, because he had Brandon Routh on the show recently. So, you know, it's one of those things where in listening to some of the stuff, I'm getting more and new and different ideas to where I want to go further once I get back to full production. Yes, I still want to finish producing stuff like Powers of Grayskull series with Optimus Solo. I still want to do other things with other brands that we've created over the year. Like, I, you know, it's so old at this point, we probably shouldn't even release it, but I started doing my, what was it, 50 years of Scooby-Doo spotlight on Tooncast last year with Optimus Solo and Neil, and we didn't even, I didn't even get the first episode edited and released. It Tooncast basically stopped at episode 230, even though I still have episode 231 recorded. It just, life has just been strange, and it's even more strange now because of the virus.
Yeah, it's definitely changed the world, and not certain if it's good or bad. Either way,
it's gonna get worse before it gets better.
I mean, that is for sure. But it's, I mean, it's basically skyrocketed now, but they slowed it down as much as they can at this point. It's just the numbers game is just not going to play out the way they see it going. Everyone is going to get infected at some point. It's just, that's just the matter of how it's going to be. But I think for this episode though, I think we've about wrapped it up. So we'll be back on another episode to discuss the cinemas and streaming. And I know you don't have anything to plug right now, but what are some of your go-to comic episodes of The Pullbag that you would recommend people to go check out if they want to hear some of your thoughts on the comic industry? I know it's kind of throwing you out there, but you usually know.
Yeah, well, yes, I know. Any of our TMNT episodes that we've been doing since 2014, I believe, any of those, the Batmite episode that, you talk about how DC really doesn't have anything for us, whatever, or anything that we're super interested in.
Yep.
That 6-issue Batmite miniseries was hilarious. The Batman Beyond stuff is the main title that I've kept up with for DC because it's so, it really is really good. You can check out all of our Transformers and TMNT coverage in The Pullbag. I think it was episode 337. You can listen to that. I'm kind of on it. I'm not really on it. Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley, Lady Wreck, and Jen apparently talked about 13 years of Transformers comics at IDW. So if people want to get a general overlook, there are probably going to be spoilers on that episode. But if you want to get a general outlook of or overlook of what IDW has done, you can listen to that. What I'm really proud of, though, is what I did at the end of last year. I did several episodes on Geekcast Radio with several different people. Episode 194, I believe, is with myself and Tom DJ talking about how fandom is broken and how we can fix it. We also talk about his modern fandom manifesto. It's these little rules that he wrote down about how fans should, you know, behave amongst each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just because somebody likes Lord of the Rings doesn't mean I have to. Just because you love Star Trek, and I, you know, like I said, I have a passing enjoyment of it, but, you know, if we all liked the same thing, the world would be boring. So you can check that episode out. Even though it's more timely to Thanksgiving, my interview with local restaurateur Big Ed from Big Ed's Barbecue back in Illinois, that was really fun. I love doing that. He actually has, I'm hoping, I'll have you get it later. I had him record a GCR promo for us. Basically, this is Big Ed from Big Ed's Barbecue from Waukegan, Illinois. You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. And at the end of it, he's like, sucka. So I recorded that promo. That was kind of fun. Just a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I've been doing this for going on 12 years this December, and I've done a lot of content, whether it's new or old, folks. Just go listen to it.
And with that, where can the good people find you on the internets at the moment?
I'm on Twitter. Don't really do too much with it because apparently we both get in trouble when we're on Twitter.
Yes, we do.
Art is subjective, folks, and yes. No one is going to say, no one single no-name artist is going to save the comics industry.
No, and
anyway,
and just because he clamors for somebody to call him doesn't mean it's going to happen. So
I'm at TFQ and Mike on Twitter.
I'm at SCP21 at Altered Geek. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.